Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
What General Motors is doing as the talks with the UAW kick off in Detroit. Both the Writers Guild and SAG-AFTRA filing complaints with the Labor Board. Today on the show, Teamsters Local 662 in Wisconsin and the latest from the North Shore Labor Federation. Welcome to the Thursday, July 20th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have a total of three guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Teamster Local 662, and they are based in Wisconsin. They cover a good chunk of Wisconsin, primarily the central area. Joining us will be Tom Strickland. Tom serves as Secretary Treasurer, and along with him would be business agent Don Boley. We got a couple things we're going to talk about on the show today. Number one, the new Dairy Select Milk, formerly known as Dean's Morning Glory, in De Pere, Wisconsin, on strike by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, going back a couple weeks. It actually started on the 10th of this month. Get this, the company has refused to come to the bargaining table for about 5 weeks now. Among some of the smaller language issues that remain, health insurance, they also have a union plan that's better and cheaper. The company is wanting our members to continue on their plan, which costs more with less coverage, according to Tom. And get this, the members of 662 have already taken some pretty large concessions. When Dean's Select Milk, well, they filed for bankruptcy and they formed a new company called Dean's Morning Glory. Overtime, well, it used to be after 8 hours, now it's after 40 hours. Also, the workers took a 75% reduction in their pension plan. Don Boley is going to talk about what's going on at Lina Kugel's Molson Coors. Yeah, we've got a merger here in the beer industry. A lot of companies have merged over the years, especially during the pandemic. And here's the story there. Lina Kugel's Brewing Company workers, represented by 662, they too went on strike July 10th after rejecting a meager wage increase offered by the beer maker, which is owned by Molson Coors. If you've done any background search on Coors, you will find a very anti-union company. Very anti-union company. Dan is quoted as saying, Lina Kugel's needs to quit stalling and pay up now. These workers are fired up and ready to fight for the pay increases that they are due. The Teamsters rallied on the second day of the picket line, the morning of July 11th, as passing cars honked in a show of community support. You know, for the most part, Wisconsin is pretty labor-friendly. I know some of the politicians haven't gone in that direction, but still, a lot of solidarity in the state of Wisconsin. Our last guest on the show today is Len DeCosimo. Len is the executive secretary of the North Shore AFL-CIO Federation of Labor, which is the organized voice for 85,000 working people from nearly 150 local unions in pretty much northeastern Ohio, Cuyahoga, Lake, and Geauga counties. And Len has a lot on his plate. Number one, issue one, voting no on issue one. What is the federation doing? Well, 50,000 postcards have been mailed or distributed by the federation in the past couple of weeks. 1,000 yard signs delivered or picked up. The first day of action hosted 100 activists, and they reached 3,700 homes. Now, this is... This is something that shouldn't be happening. Let me put it simply. The legislature, I have to keep repeating this because it's so insane. You have to know what's going on in the state of Ohio. Those of you listening around the country, this is mind-boggling because we had politicians in the state of Ohio that said, you know what, August elections, yeah, we don't need them. Nobody shows up. Nobody cares. So they got together in the last session and said, okay, no more August elections. All of a sudden, there's a group circulating petitions to put reproductive rights on the November ballot. Well, that changed everything. They said, we got to bring back August elections. Oppose issue one. Now, issue one would make it harder to pass amendments to the Constitution. Right now, it's 50% plus one. This would make it 60%, which means a lot of things that happened in the last 20, 30, 40 years would not have happened. One of them, minimum wage increase. It's indexed to inflation. And if that didn't happen, you'd have a lot of people in the state of Ohio still making $7.25 an hour. That's what the federal minimum wage is and has been since 2009. Every newspaper in the state of Ohio has come down on issue one, along with Democrats and Republicans. We're talking attorneys general as well as former governors. Also going to talk about the Playhouse Square Foundation. They have a tentative agreement with Len's union. Now, Len is president also of Local 4, the American Federation of Musicians. How about this? Four-year deal, 17% increase. Nice. Nice. I like that. And nationally, Len reports that the American Federation of Musicians has new leadership, new president, and a new vice president. We'll talk about that as well. North Shore, AFL-CIO.org is their website. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. Been around since 1928, offering fixed income, real estate, and equity investment options to clients nationwide. Boy, they're doing a really good job. And Tim Hyland, who is the rep in Northeastern Ohio, managing director, I should say, is going around the country visiting various building trades unions and talking about what they can do with their pension funds at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. BoydWatterson.com is a website there. Well, in an effort to shed the secrecy surrounding past UAW contract talks, General Motors is taking a different and more transparent approach to the process. How are they doing this? Well, they have launched a website to deliver the latest bargaining developments to the automaker's salaried and hourly global workforce, as well as to the public. Now, this comes as UAW President Sean Fain has taken extra efforts to be transparent with members by doing regular live updates on Facebook and social media to outline the union's goals in those negotiations. Now, here's the website if you want to check it out. GM Negotiations 2023.com. GM Negotiations 2023.com. Dave Barnes is a spokesperson for GM. Dave says negotiations are all about supporting our more than 50,000 manufacturing employees in the U.S. and the larger GM team. Digital communication is how most people get their information, so this site is available to anyone interested. Well, it's not the first time GM has had a special website dedicated to union bargaining. Such sites actually date back to 2011. However, this is the first time the site will tailor the content for GM's global workforce rather than for news media or investors, according to the automaker. Put simply, the website states it exists so that employees can learn about GM's 2023 negotiations with the UAW. The site also has another twist. GM will include regular videos from Gerald Johnson, Executive VP of Global Manufacturing and Sustainability. It also offers employees a chance to sign up to receive email updates on the talks. Now, Stellantis, that's the parent company of Chrysler, they are planning to do a similar website, but it's not up yet. Ford Motor has a website dedicated to U.S. manufacturing. That's called FordForTheBuilders.com. FordForTheBuilders.com. And that will offer negotiation information, but it's focused on sharing stories about the employees in Ford's U.S. manufacturing plants. Now, I have something to tell you about Ford. And this is courtesy of our brothers and sisters at the UAW. Their CEO, Jim Farley, made some strange claims recently, and this was to the Detroit Free Press. He talked about the, you ready for this? $112,000 a year that the average UAW member makes at Ford. That's what he said, $112,000 a year. Now, mind you, this is a number that didn't sit right with the UAW vice president of the Ford department. That would be Chuck Browning. Chuck Browning said, wait a minute, what are we talking about here? So he wrote to the Detroit Free Press noting that the inflated figure is, quote, labor cost to the company, not what's going to the workers' pocket. Browning said it was the kind of math that the big three used to mislead the public years ago during the financial crisis, but this year it's different. Our bargaining team is fighting back. I recall the same thing happening when the bakery workers went on strike. This was about maybe a year or 2 years ago. And management was saying they were making $125,000 a year. Now, anybody that you know that's working in a bakery or delivering anything connected, you know that person's not making that kind of money. What they're doing is talking about how much the company has to pay in for benefits. So if you're making $50,000, obviously the company has to pay a lot for benefits. That's what they're throwing on there. It's not what the workers are taking home. So hats off for the UAW there for pointing that out. Getting back to these talks on Tuesday, GM formally kicked off the talks with the union. These are taking place in Warren, Michigan at the Global Technical Center for GM. Now, the current four-year agreement expires at midnight, September 14th. GM put out a statement following the first meeting with the UAW leadership. And this is what they said. We are proud of the robust total compensation and benefits package we provide to our team members. That includes a world-class health care plan, a profit-sharing program that just distributed the largest bonus payments ever to our employees, and career development and training opportunities. This comes right from the CEO, Mary Barra. She went on to say, we have a long history of negotiating fair contracts with the UAW that reward our employees and support the long-term success of our business. Our goal this time will be no different. I guess we will find out. But Sean Fain, playing hardball, he says, you know what? If we don't come up with something on September 14th, we are walking out. Over 3,300 UPS pilots, represented by the Independence Pilots Association, the IPA, say they will not cross the picket line if the Teamsters go on strike when their contract expires at the end of this month. Now, this move could ground most UPS airplanes for the duration of the strike. We reported yesterday, by the way, UPS is already hiring, bracing for a strike, non-union members, and trying to train them as quick as they can. And both the Writers Guild of America, the WGA, and SAG-AFTRA, Screen Actors Guild, American Federation, TV, Radio, Artists, Actors Union, filed complaints with the Labor Board this week, accusing Comcast own NBC Universal of blocking a public sidewalk used for picketing with construction. Get this, the obstruction forced the striking workers to picket in busy streets where two picketers have already been struck by a car, according to the complaint. The guilds say that this construction interferes with the members' right to engage in protective strike activity. Tomorrow, the SAG strike will be 1 week old. The writer's strike began on May 2nd. All right, quick break. When we come back, Teamsters Local 662 in the state of Wisconsin.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans. And we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers. And we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO.
Hey, this is Sean McGarvey, and I'm president of North America's Building Trades Unions, and I'm a proud listener of America's Workforce. I love this podcast.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at USW.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. And if you like a show, please share that show because we count all the downloads or sponsors. Well, they like to know how we're doing, and I can report we're doing pretty darn well. We are now in the top 5% of all podcasts in the world. We broadcast out of Cleveland, Ohio. We podcast to the world, and we've only been podcasting for about 3 years now. So the show is growing, and for very good reason. A lot of good organizing going on, a lot of labor struggles going on. And there's one going on, actually several going on in the state of Wisconsin. Let's go to our live line right now and join Tom Strickland and Dan Boley. Tom is the secretary treasurer of Teamsters Local 662. They have about 4,500 members. And Dan is a business agent. Tom has been with the union for about 16 years. Tom, I'm going to start with you here. I was talking about New Dairy Select Milk, formerly known as Dean's Morning Glory. And this is in, is it De Pere, Wisconsin? Am I pronouncing that correct?
Yes.
Okay. You've been on strike since almost the beginning of July. What's going on here? Can you tell us?
Well, we've started negotiations with the company, and they haven't really bargained in good faith through the whole process. And our big issue is the insurance. There's other language issues and some monetary smaller issues, but primarily it's the health and welfare. The company is wanting us to maintain their company plan, which comes at high deductibles, high out-of-pockets, and not that well coverage. So we propose a Teamster plan, which gives the employees better coverage at a lower cost. There's also savings for the company, and they're rejecting that. And the plan that they're now proposing would actually almost double the out-of-pockets for my members. So this offer has been rejected.
Let me get this straight here. You're proposing a better plan for your members, and it's going to cost the company less, and they are rejecting that? That sounds a little crazy to me.
Very crazy. They don't want their employees to have that desirable of a health plan, and they would much rather they just went on their spouses or elsewhere.
They don't want their employees to have a desirable health plan. That's crazy. Is now talk to me a little bit about the background here. Now, this is a company that went bankrupt. It used to be Dean's Morning Glory. What happened there?
Well, Beans, one of the largest dairies in the country, through bad management, nothing on the workers' end. As you see, many, you know, it happens to many. They went bankrupt, so they had to sell. And Dairy Farmers of America bought the lion's share of the Dean's plant. And in this facility specific, the Department of Justice said that it had to be divested. This location and two other ones, due to antitrust laws. So Borden's, who also went bankrupt a few years back. Now they call themselves the New Borden, but created an entity called New Dairy Select Milk, and they purchased this facility. New Dairy is 51% owner, and Select Milk is 49% ownership, and that's the Farmers Co-op. So they've come in, and we've absorbed the contract. They've absorbed the contract through the bankruptcy, and this is our time now to negotiate and try to bring back some of those concessions that we've given, and no need for this plant to do that. This plant has been successful. You know, we service the sour or the Taco Bells, and nothing has changed here. The product, the workers. So it's just an overreach by the employer.
And when they filed for bankruptcy, I understand you had to take some hits on that. Can you speak to what happened?
Yeah, there was. There was cuts to the pension, retirement, and there was cuts to the work week hours, and there was cuts to the health and welfare. So, for example, my folks were getting overtime after 8, very common in a labor contract. We shifted over to overtime after 40 hours. My members belong to the Team Care, the Central States Pension Plan. Mm-hmm. They went from $288 a week contribution to their retirement fund down to $155 per month.
Whoa. That's a huge cut there.
Yeah, and then there was a change in the insurance. They had a very good Dean's plan. It mirrored the union plan, and then those cuts came in on top of it.
When did all this happen?
That happened back in 2020. That was part of the bankruptcy agreed upon between the Teamsters and Deans. Okay. In order to maintain membership and keep these members covered.
And that was right when the pandemic shut everything down in America, so that was a real tough time for your local. How many, you mentioned there's 4,500 members in 662 of the Teamsters. How many actually work at New Dairy Select Milk?
We have about 35 at this location. Just previously, there was about 110, but they seized their fluid milk operation. And as you know, milk consumption is down. Yeah. So they shut down the fluid milk operations, so we're just running the sour cream.
So they went from 110 to 35. That's a big drop, real big drop.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the background and everything. Let's go to, if you don't mind, let's go to Dan Boley here. Now Dan is a business agent, and we've got more problems in Wisconsin, and this involves the Leinenkugel's Brewing Company. Dan, fill me in. What's going on? Now, your workers are also on strike. Both of them went on strike at July 10th. What's the story there, Dan?
Yeah, so throughout negotiations, the company kept trying to, there's quite a bit of surface bargaining going on. You know, they kept pushing it out and pushing it out and pushing it out, and it didn't really seem like they wanted to get a deal done. At our last negotiation session, the company gave us a last, best, and final we did not feel was up to par. We made an offer to the employer, and they pretty much took the position that our last, best, and final is all we're going to give you. So we voted that. The membership shot it down, and it was time to make a decision, and that's what we did. The wages are not where we need to be. I believe right on the Molson Coors website. So Molson Coors owns Leinenkugel's, I believe right on the Molson Coors website, you know, it talks about 8 straight quarters of growth, and you know, net sales are up to $10.7 billion. So the wages they were offering, you know, the men and women who work at the brewery are the reason that the company is successful. And so to give them a low wage increase is not, you know, not what the employees deserve.
Dan, how far apart are we on wages right now?
You know, I think we're a little bit off, quite a bit off still. You know, the company does not want to recognize the work that these people have put in, and also they don't want to recognize that, you know, it doesn't seem like they're too concerned about getting people in the door, new hires. However, they haven't been able to hire many people in the first place. So, you know, some of the classifications were quite a bit farther apart than some of the other ones. But, yeah.
I'm reading about 40 workers are on strike right now. And since July 10th here. What are they doing? Are they bringing any scabs in here in the meantime?
Well, so what they've been doing is bringing in what we believe is employees from corporate, Molson Coors, to try and run the brewery. However, it does not seem like it's going very well. The company put up, I think they made one statement to the press that said something along the lines that, you know, we hope that we can come to a resolution that's beneficial for both parties. However, from what we've seen, what they're actually doing is putting up barricades and hiring security to sit at the gate. So, you know, when they say that we're hoping to come to a resolution, that's not what we're seeing.
I hear you. Probably not a good time to pick up some Line of Kugel's beer right now, especially if you got management running the operation, and they probably don't know what they're doing. I would hazard to go in that direction. Joining us on our live line right now, we have two brothers from Teamsters Local 662 in Central and North Wisconsin. Tom Strickland serves as Secretary Treasurer, and Dan Boley is a business agent. We'll continue the conversation after this. Later in the show, we're going to check in with Len DeCosimo of the North Shore Federation of Labor. All happening on America's Workforce. Back in a few.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at UAW.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Let's go back to De Pere, Wisconsin. Where is De Pere? Well, it's right outside Green Bay, and I think everybody knows where Green Bay, Wisconsin is, and I got two gentlemen here that are with the Teamsters and huge Packers fans, I might add. Teamsters662.com is their website. Joining us today is Tom Strickland, who serves as the Secretary Treasurer, and Dan Boley. Dan is a business agent. We're talking about workers on strike at Leinekugel's and also New Dairy Select Milk, formerly known as Dean's Morning Glory. And we're talking about 35 members there. Tom, I want to pick up with you. 5 weeks now, the company has refused to come to the bargaining table. That's not good. That's not good. What's the next step here? How are we going to handle this situation?
Well, we're gonna do some political pressure on them. You know, our friends in the legislation that will that support labor. You know, they've been on the picket line with us, and we're going to start there. We started with the community. And we're going to ramp this up to the customer. And the customer is going to have to put the pressure on New Dairy to do the right thing by its members.
Now, are they bringing in scabs or management like they did with, like Dan was talking about, Leinekugel's? Is the same kind of scenario going on there?
Yeah, they're bringing in just area or managers from other locations, but we don't see a whole lot going on at the plant at this moment. They've done the same thing with the gates, security. And, you know, the amount of differences we have that we're off, they're spending a lot of money to keep us out when they could just come to the table and we could settle this thing.
And right now, nothing is scheduled then. After 5 weeks, they don't even want to talk to you, right?
That's correct.
That's very sad. And the crazy thing about this is the Teamsters have a better and cheaper health insurance plan that's going to save the company money, and they don't want to go in that direction. It's just baffling, just baffling. What about support in the community? I know with your with the Teamsters, and also, are you getting support from International on this one?
Absolutely. The International has stepped up tremendously. This will become a national campaign with their customer, the community support has been tremendous. Driving by the donations, people stopping in, blowing the horns. It's overwhelming, and it's much appreciated.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll keep everybody posted on your website here for updates on that. Let's go back to Dan Boley, Dan, business agent with Local 662, in this strike going on at Leinekugel's Brewing Company. Now, this is a company, this is crazy. They've been brewing beer in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, for over 150 years. A lot of pride there. And then all of a sudden, they can't pay their work. And Dan, you said they're pretty profitable. What was the number that you threw at me as far as what kind of money they're making?
Well, I believe profits went up from, it was $10.2 billion to $10.7 billion. Also on their website, I believe it talks about 8 straight quarters of growth. And again, that's due to the men and women who work in the brewery.
And we're talking about a company that's owned by a giant, Molson Coors. And correct me if I'm wrong, Coors Brewing, don't they have pretty much an anti-union history behind them? Isn't that true?
I believe there's some truth to that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not surprised by what's going on here. So where do we stand on negotiations? Anything happening here? Or no?
Well, again, you know, the company's statement said that they're hoping for a resolution that's beneficial to both parties. However, you know, their idea of that is putting up fences and bringing in security. There's been no conversations had between myself and the company. You know, again, they're too busy trying to do that than do right by the employees.
Now, is there any discussion to possibly boycott Leinekugel's beer in that area? Is anybody thinking about going in that direction?
There has been. I mean, the community support has been tremendous as well. You know, we've had bars that have stopped serving after day two, and we've also had other bars that are not going to reorder Leinekugel's. So the community sport, I mean, the community is behind the workers.
Yeah. Yeah, we should point out that the Teamsters voted 98% in favor of authorizing a strike. The contract ended, actually, in May. And nothing in the distant future here. So what's the game plan moving forward here? And while I have Dan here, I mean, it's very frustrating. You don't want the strike to go on very long, but you got to get something out of this whole thing. Any strategy you can tell our listeners right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to keep putting the pressure on the company, and the community as well is also doing that. I mean, that's kind of our main goal right now. You know, any way we can put pressure on, you know, the members are strong. You know, they're done being walked over by Molson Coors and Lyman Kugels. So there's some things in the works, but really we just need to keep putting the pressure on the company and having the public support, which is growing, is key.
Well, you got your support from America's Workforce here. Keep us posted on anything that happens. Another question here, elected leaders. And I know Wisconsin has gone through some changes here, especially when Scott Walker was your governor. And Tom, I'm going to let you pick up on this. You're Secretary of Treasury. You've been there for 16 years. I know that you've seen a big change in the political structure there. I'm just wondering, are we seeing any politicians labor-friendly? Because there's a lot of good labor-friendly politicians there. Are they helping you out on these struggles?
They are. We're starting to. They're starting to come to the line and talk to our workers, letting them know that their battle is not unheard, and doing what they can, you know, up on the hill to stop these, you know, corporations from doing, you know, corporate greed. So, yeah, we are seeing some political support.
Good to hear. New Dairy Select Milk, formerly known as Dean's Morning Glory, in De Pere, Wisconsin, just outside of Green Bay. Workers at Teamster Local 662 on strike since July 10th. And Lina Kugels Brewing Company, also represented by 662, also on strike since July 10th. And we're talking about a company with profits of $10.7 billion, and they can't pay their workers. And we're talking 40 workers. Come on, guys. Let's get it together. Again, the website is Teamsters662.com, Teamsters662.com. Tom Strickland, Secretary Treasurer, and Dan Boley, business agent at 662. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the show today. Stay strong and stay in touch, okay?
Thank you for having us.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Linda Cosmo, Executive Secretary of the North Shore Federation of Labor, is coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Got Len DeCosimo on line number two right now. Len is the executive secretary of the North Shore Federation of Labor, NorthShoreAFLCIO.org. We have a lot to talk about. But, Len, welcome to the show. I got to talk to you a little bit before we get into issue one and Playhouse Square about SAG-AFTRA. As you know, I'm a member of SAG-AFTRA. I've been a member, my gosh. Next year, 50 years. 50 years.
Right?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Time flies
when you're having fun, Flash.
Exactly. And, you know, our brothers and sisters are on strike with the movie producers. That's a different contract than mine. But I have to share with you, I get slammed with emails out of Los Angeles every day. And right now, the wage difference, they want 11. The union wants 11%. They're offering them 5, which means they can't even keep up with inflation. But here's the big one. And you know what's going on with artificial intelligence. The union wants a comprehensive set of provisions to grant informed consent and fair compensation when a digital replica is made using artificial intelligence, okay? Understand that.
Absolutely.
Okay, now here's where management is coming. And this is right from SAG-AFTRA. We want to be able to scan a background performer's image, pay them for a half a day's labor, and then use an individual's likeness for any purpose forever without their consent. We also want to be able to make changes to principal performers' dialogue and even create new scenes without informed consent. And we want to be able to use someone's images, likenesses, and performances to train new generative AI systems without consent or compensation. Can you believe this? Is this crazy?
Of course they do. Of course they do. Because it's the best thing they have in their bucket is the artistic content. What's important to me, Flash, is the one phrase that the union has put in, and you have said a couple times, informed consent.
Yep.
What is really outrageous to the soul of any working person is when you take their labors and use it and exploit it mm-hmm. without fair compensation, without even giving the courtesy of the knowledge, the affirmation that that's your intellectual property. This
right.
is about intellectual property. And it's outrageous. And I think that we're on good, solid footing to get what's fair and reasonable for these working people.
I had to share that with you. I mean, you're a performer. You've been a performer all your life. And and I'll tell you, it's a tough business being a performer. But then when we're dealing with crazy things like this, oh my gosh. So
I think they're saying more, but I can't hear them over the waves from their yachts. Flash.
Yes.
If they could pump up the volume. Goodness gracious.
All right, Len. Let's switch
All
gears
right.
here a
I'll
little
stop.
Bit. Issue one. We've been slamming it here on America's Workforce. I'm seeing a whole lot. In fact, you know, we still record the show at Ironworkers Local 17, and I saw the best piece the other day. They're using Ohio State and Michigan, and you know the rivalry there, okay?
So if
the game is played in the state of Ohio, and here's the score. Ohio State 59, Michigan 41. Okay, you would think Ohio State would win, right? Not in the state of Ohio. Not in the state of Ohio. In Michigan, they would win that game, but not in the state of Ohio because you got to get 60%.
I wonder what Woody Hayes would have to say about that.
Okay.
Exactly. You know, we've been making plans for the election all summer long. August 8th, by the way, if everybody doesn't know. But with all the good work that we've been continuing to do, we have handwritten, mailed, or distributed over 50,000 postcards, over 4,000 yard signs. We can't keep yard signs in the North Shore office.
so many more thousand literature drops. I really, if I can, the work of campaign director Brian Pearson, our office director Karen Reckenbach, our retiree coordinator Wynn Antonio, and Robin Coker, who's on loan from President Berga from the state Ohio AFL-CIO to work east of us in Ashabula, west of us in Lorain. There's been so much energy here. It reminds me of when they tried to strip back collective bargaining over a decade ago.
Yeah.
The energy is amazing, Flash, on the street.
And it's reported today, by the way, that early turnout is exploding in Cuyahoga County. Yeah, in Cuyahoga County, it's like 5 to 6 times normal elections, you know, at this time of year, which was not supposed to be happening anyway. That's another story. But anyway, how do you read into that? Do you feel pretty good? Do you feel pretty good about that?
Well, what it does for us is that it energizes us to keep going until August 8th. Tonight, the music union is hosting over a dozen musicians. We're going to do more postcard writing. We got another 5,000 in, and we're going to get those out. We have a march. We're going to have a strolling jazz band marching from the 310 Hall down to the Board of Elections on Friday, August 4th, raising awareness, getting those who are registered now, reminding them again, get to the polls. Vote no. One person, one vote.
You got it. UnionStrongOhio.com is the website you need to go to. UnionStrongOhio.com. Vote no on issue one, which would raise the threshold for those who want to amend the Constitution. And, you know, one of the things, Len, you know this, it was in 2006, the voters in the state of Ohio said, you know what, we got to raise the minimum wage. And they did. But they did it with only 53. They did it with 53%. That would not pass. If issue one got a yes vote.
All the tactics, all the schematics, all points of 60% for their ambitions. Yeah. And we need to stand up and say no, and we will.
You got to feel pretty good, the fact that a bipartisan group of governors and attorneys generals are speaking out on this. Doesn't that make a difference?
Can I read the murderer's row? Bob Taft, John Kasich, Dick Celeste, Ted Strickland for the governors. That kind of hits everywhere across the aisle, doesn't it, Flash?
Yeah, absolutely. And
the
I don't think there's
attorney generals too.
I don't think there's one newspaper that's in favor of this. Do you know anything about that?
All of them, the Columbus Dispatch, the Plain Dealer here locally, the Toledo Blade, all the editorial boards are all in unison. The unions oppose issue one. It's freedom at the ballot box. Everybody understands majority rule, one person, one vote. Everybody is learning about the out-of-state millions that are funding this campaign. Everybody is learning that the legislators who are pushing this did away with special elections just last year. The hypocrisy is being unearthed, and we're sounding the clarion call. Programs like this help, Flash. Thank you.
Len DeCosmo, Executive Secretary, North Shore Federation of Labor. There's a couple other things I want to get into here. Playhouse Square Foundation, tentative agreement with Local 4, where you serve as president. Talk to me about this. This is quite an accomplishment, my brother.
Well, this is the first agreement with the new CEO there, Craig Hassel, who comes from Royal Albert Hall in London.
And really?
It's a good deal for us. We're also proud to say we were working and at the same time with IATSE Local 27, the stagehands, and President Jimmy Holden, and we both achieved what we feel are very satisfactory 4-year collective bargaining agreements. So the idea that we have labor peace for the stagehands, labor peace for our musicians, with our new guest from the UK makes me feel good about the fine arts there and the transition that's happening in that great campus of theaters that's the biggest one between New York and Chicago.
As far as the deal here. I'm reading 4 years, 17% increase. Can you be more specific on that?
Well, that's the musician's deal. And it's spread out very equally. We have 1% more in the first year, so it's a 5-4-4-4 deal. We also were able to, we were talking at the beginning of the show about additional intellectual rights or artistic rights that artists have. Here we were able to introduce and win for the musicians additional compensation and benefits when they appear on stage, when they appear in costume, when they have to make the wigs and makeup call, when they have to do choreography or have lines to say, in addition to their work as an instrumentalist or a vocalist on stage. And the bargaining unit committee was very happy to finally get some of that language in the contract.
Now, Lynn, you mentioned this new CEO, Craig Hassel. Do you feel that he played a pretty big role in this? It sounds like he was kind of on your side in this whole situation.
Well, he's on the side of good arts. He's on the side of wanting to continue the tradition of what's been happening at Playhouse Square. I would also say that the longtime general manager, David Green, was also a part of negotiations for Playhouse Square. It's a good feeling right now.
And
we see the audiences are coming back. And, there was attention to all of the things we spoke about earlier, inflation, mm-hmm. cost mm-hmm. of living increases. And this is the way the cookie crumbled this time. Flash, it could always turn. In every negotiation, we're going to stay vigilant, right?
Turn on a dime, no Amen. Doubt about that. All right, one other issue here. I guess International American Federation of Musicians has new leadership, a new president, new VP, secretary, treasurer, some new board members. Talk to me about that.
The president of Local 802 in New York, Tino Gagliardi, is now the new AFM president. And longtime AFM international leadership, Dave Pomeroy out of Nashville. He was the longtime bassist for Don Williams, Flash.
Oh, really?
Is the new AFM vice president. Yeah, that'll give you an idea of the side of the industry he was in. Touring mm-hmm. and traveling, a lot of session work out of Nashville. Ken Shurka from the Pacific Northwest, Seattle and Portland, is our new secretary treasurer. We also have, for the first time, a very strong Canadian contingent. We have three elected Canadian officers, and this really puts the international in our international union now as we pursue secondary markets for royalties, for broadcasting, for AI in the future, all of these things tie together. Labor is a global community, and the more we keep conscious of that, the better off we're going to be.
Good, good, good. Good to hear. All right, my friend, we'll leave it on that note. One more before we depart here. Local 4, American Federation Musicians, how are we looking here for the rest of the summer and going into the fall?
Going into the fall, it's going good. We're negotiating with the Cleveland Orchestra right now. They have a tour in the fall. They're going to Vienna, then they're going to Tel Aviv for the first time. And we think that, with the work we've been doing ahead of time, particularly with the issues that we're looking at, including health care and the retirement package, we're in a good position to get a deal, too. I'm optimistic about everything. Everybody's going to work together, Flash.
I love it. I love it. You are the man. President of Local 4, also Executive Secretary of the North Shore Federation of Labor. We're talking about 85,000 working people from nearly 150 local unions in Cuyahoga Lake and Geauga counties, all part of northeastern Ohio. North Shore, AFLCIO.org. Okay, my brother, you take care. Enjoy the upcoming Labor Day holiday. I'm sure we'll probably have you on right before that to talk more about that and more. So stay safe and stay in touch, okay, brother?
Thanks, Flash. Bye-bye.
That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we got the latest from the American Legion and the Alliance for Retired Americans. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.